We are in the second message, and this is really more of a lab this morning, not a traditional sermon. The guys are going to pass out the discipleship journey notebooks. Last week we started this. It's a lot of fill-ins, a lot of blanks. If that freaks you out, I have the answer key at the doors at the end. So if you're just like, I'm getting writer's cramp, I can't write anymore, just absorb, okay? Just sit back, because I know some people freak out if they don't get a fill-in filled in, so don't worry about that. So last week, we talked about this journey with Jesus and where we're at on it. And as I was praying about today, I was excited because I just felt like the Lord reminded me of a trip that I took to Texas with a few guys. And we had a GPS system. We were in Dallas. And we had an iPad with a GPS. I'd never used one of those before, but it was really cool. But you know, you're in Dallas, which is totally flat country, no land. It's really difficult to know where you're going. And I'm like, how do we, you know, so you don't really, it's hard. For me, I was like, I'm used to places where there's mountains and hills, and Dallas is flat. But we had the GPS. We just put in our destination. And we said, here's where we're currently at. And it tells you where to go. Here's your path, right? But if you make the wrong turn, those GPSs are so cool, you know, depending on which one you have and what kind of voice it has. But ours would, like, we make the wrong turn, and it would say, recalibrating. But it was kind of like a nice, soft woman's voice, like, recalibrating, you know, in kind of a British tone. I can't do it, but recalibrating. And it would say, recalibrating, you know, get back on course, turn here, go here. And my hope today is that as we go through this material, again, not a traditional sermon, but more of a teaching on kind of a 30,000-foot view of the process of discipleship that we're in. And Paul, in Colossians 1, he talks about, in verses like 28, 29, down in that area, he says really he wants us to grow in all knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And we're in a maturity process, right? You get saved, you receive Christ, you accept him, and then you're on this journey of growing in him called the sanctification process. It's a big word, sanctification. But while we're still on this planet and we're believers in Jesus, we are called to be growing and maturing, growing up into everything he's called us to be in Christ. And so it isn't just receive Christ, say a nice prayer, boom, done. It's you begin the process and you go from really being a spiritual infant or baby to a mature parent in Christ. And so this discipleship process that we're talking about today in the last few weeks actually is really the journey we're all on. And my heart and my hope as your pastor is to help you and equip you and equip those here to help others to grow up in Christ. I want you to grow personally, but I want you to get the reality that, oh, this isn't just about me growing in Christ. This is about me. As I grow in Christ, I'm actually helping others grow in Christ also. And trust me, good to have you back, Jeff. I'm glad you're here. And all you guys. I just point out Jeff because he just stands out to me. But anyway, back to I'm a little ADD, so I apologize. I'm intentionally... Walter loves that because he accused me of being AD a long time ago. I think you're right, Walter. I hate to admit it. But anyway, so the idea that we can all help each other grow is an amazing thing, and that's the way God set it up. So I'm excited about that. And when I was thinking about recalibrating, I was thinking about the word that Ben gave about from Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. I believe today what God's going to do is he's going to help you recalibrate where he's going to help identify where you're at, and there's going to be a recalibration, a tasting, and a seeing that's different than where you currently have been. There's a fresh tasting, a fresh seeing. Tasting is experiential. Seeing is you get a visual, but tasting is you get it down in you, right? You're really like, oh, that's savoring. And so I believe he wants to recalibrate all of us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? So I'm excited about that. So if you open your notebooks to page 2, on page 2 there is the discipleship wheel. And that's a lot of information there. You're like, wow, it's a lot of stuff, Kevin. I'm not sure about all this. But let me just give you a quick summation of that. If I had to make this super simple for you, and this is not on the screen, but if we have the wheel here, and there's really, what we've done is said, let's break down the discipleship process, the journey, this whole lifelong journey into 4 simple phases. And the first one is explore, which is the E. And if I had to give you one word to describe what that would be, I would write, and maybe you could write this next to it, I'd write the word discover. Right? And what do I mean by that? That you and I, when we accept Christ, we begin a discovery process. We discover the depths of God from that beginning acceptance of Christ and receiving his grace gift this whole time we're in existence on this planet. We will continually discover the depths of God over the process of our life. And then the C, if I have to give you a word here, I would use the word linked. I don't know if you can read this, but anyway, linked, all right? In the connection phase, we're connected to God, but we're connected to others. It's a linking, in a sense, like a linking of arms. If I'm going to link arms with you, there is an intentional connection point, right? It's solid, right? I'm connecting with God, but God didn't say just connect with me. He said, actually, to grow in connection with me, you have to grow in connection with other believers. That's how I set it up. And so that's what the connect phase is really about, being linked together. So discovering and linked. And then the S is the serve phase. And if I had to give one word to describe that, I would say giving. It's a giving phase. It's where you recognize and go beyond just, this is for me growing in my relationship with Christ. This is me growing in connection with other people and my relationship with God. This is where you start to translate into this idea that, oh, God actually has gifted me. He's put things in me. There's a heart change that happens. And I'm actually called to give, to serve, to the deposits that are in me that God put in me that I'm beginning to discover now. I'm actually taking those things and giving those away. And actually, you could call that ministry. I mean, a lot of people don't like to use the word ministry because you go, well, you're the minister, not me. You're the minister. Well, so we just call it serve, and that'll make you feel better, all right? Give, all right? So that's what this is about. That's kind of the word that would link. And then the D, the discipleship phase, would be characterized by maybe this word. How about reproduction? You and I are actually called not just to grow again in our own relationship with Christ, but the growth in our relationship with Christ comes as a result that we give away what we have. We help others grow up in Christ also. And so if I had to simply just define those, that would be the way I would do it. So now go to page 4, and if you missed last week, you can listen to it online. Again, I have the answer key back there. And so what I want to do is just go into each one of these phases a little bit with you today. And the first one, phase one, explore phase, again, it's a discovery process. And the great thing about this is we don't actually graduate from these phases. We just add on. We're always going to be exploring Christ. We're always called to be connected with other believers and connect a relationship with God. And then we add this. We start to discover our gifts and serve. And then we add this, okay? So what this is really, this wheel is really just a tool. It's just a tool to kind of recognize where you're at, have some hooks to hang your process of growth on, right? Because you can just come on Sunday, and you can just come to church and go, I'm done my time, gave a little money, I talked to a few people, heard a little message, and that's great. But actually, the goal of Sunday is to celebrate what God's been actually doing throughout the week. And you get encouraged, you get equipped a little bit. But if your nourishment and your growth is solely based on Sunday mornings, you are malnourished and you won't make it on your own. I mean, this is good. We need this, but we need to be growing every day throughout the week. And so my heart is to help you do that. That's why I talk about reading your Bible, you know, and actually opening it up. And you know that sometimes you know the right things to do, but it's just the challenge of, I just need accountability to have somebody even say, hey, how are you doing on that? Right? And so that's my heart, right? My heart is to help us all grow. So the first thing there at the top of the page 4, explore, this phase of the process is the front door to discipleship. And the blanks there are, A is exploring truth. We start out, and you'll see that on the wheel, is that really there's this process, there's kind of two things happening in the explore phase. Jesus might be pre-Jesus, right? And so before you're saved, you're exploring truth. God, and you might be here today and you came and you don't know Jesus yet. You're exploring. You're like, I'm curious. I'm checking this thing out. That's great. And maybe this is where you're at. But you haven't yet accepted Christ or surrendered your life to Christ. It's okay. We love that you're here exploring and you just spend the time you need to explore who Jesus is, find out more about him. And then there will be a point where God woos you and you say, I want to surrender my life to him. It's the biggest miracle that actually, I believe, ever happens in a person's life. And many people sitting around you have made that decision. And so once you make that decision, you accept Christ, you begin this process of discovering him, and that's where that be there is you've accepted Christ, but you're not currently in relationships or you're not sure how to grow in your faith. You're really at kind of an infant stage there, and that's where you begin in the explore stage. And what's interesting, and if you'd write this under, right below that phrase from the phase, it says there, write the word language underneath that. And what we in the little bubbles there, we want to talk about some language that you might hear of someone who's in the explore phase. If this person is pre-Jesus, pre-surrendering their life to Christ, you might hear language like this. Will this Jesus take care of my problems? I'm a good person, and I don't need religion or God. Might say something like this, and these might be a couple of fill-ins for you. I find God in nature. Right? I find God in nature. You know, and that's where you're at. Did God create nature? Yes, he did. You know, so why is it some people feel closer to God when they're out in the forest? God created it, and there's less humans out there, so there's, you know, you just feel closer to God, but he made it. I mean, what's interesting is a lot of times we look at the creation, and people worship creation instead of the creator, right? And I think it's Bill Johnson that he always says, he goes, when you look at an exit sign, the exit sign, like that exit sign right over there, that's not the exit. That just points to the greater reality of the exit. That points to the exit. And so when we look at nature, people's like, well, I just worship trees and mountains. It's like, you should worship Jesus. You should worship the one who created the trees and the mountains, right? Don't stop there. Go see the beauty and go, oh, bigger. Okay. So the second thing you might hear is, I don't need church people. Church is just a bunch of hypocrites. Ooh. Let me just settle something right now. Especially if you're new to church. We are a bunch of hypocrites. You're like, whoa. Now, my goal, and I hope our goal as believers, is not to consistently be hypocritical. But you know what? We're all human beings. And we're the only reason anything good's coming out of us is because of what Jesus has done. And we're growing. We're in this process of growing. But I have moments where I'm hypocritical, too, where what I believe and what I value and what I know God's word says does not necessarily line up with my actions, or my actions don't line up with it. And just so you know, the goal isn't to be hypocritical, but the reality is that's a daily process where God's saying, you know what? You're out of alignment here. Recalibration time, right? Lord, I need to taste and see more today who you are. And it's an opportunity of repenting and confessing. That's, God, I'm struggling in that, right? The goal isn't to be hypocritical. The goal is to be more like Jesus. But in the process of that, you and I will be hypocritical. So if you're like, I just want you to know, if you're here and you're slightly messed up, you're amongst a great crowd of people who are slightly messed up. Some of us are more willing to admit it than others, right? But we're all at a different place, right? Some of us have a little, you know, we're just haven't been going at it long enough with Jesus to realize, wow, we really do need you more, Lord. So the more you know Jesus, the more you realize we need you, Jesus. We need the cross, what you did on the cross. I come to the cross daily, die daily, all right? So if you're, again, phrase from the phase, that's, you know, if you're someone who maybe they have received Christ, some of the language you might hear out of them is, well, now that I believe, I'm still confused about the Bible and all the denominations and why all these different churches, you know, I don't get all that. And so that's okay to ask those questions. You might ask something like this. You might say something like this. This might be the language. What should I do about my old friends who don't yet believe in Jesus? Right? Or, I didn't know the Bible said that. I love it when people start reading their Bible and they're like, they'll come up to me and they go, I was reading in Acts today. Did you know that the Bible said this? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, wow, what do you think about that? You know, it's like this light bulb starts going on. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. It's really good, actually. When you read it, you start tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. All right? And then you might hear something like this. Well, I've been hurt by so many people out there, so it's just going to be me and Jesus. I don't need any other people, right? And when you're in the explore phase, and that you discover, you accept Christ, you surrender your life to Christ, and you're discovering him, and it's like, I don't want to get involved with other people because they've hurt me. And you know what? Legitimately, most of us in this room have been hurt by other people, right? And frankly, you've hurt other people, and I've hurt other people. And that's a process that God uses to help us grow, and that's why being linked with other believers is so important. That's why we talk about life groups. That's why Ryan got up here and beat us all up about it. It's really encouraging, right? Because he knows that when you link arms with other believers, it's the growth process that God designed happens more rapidly and better and more fulfilling and fuller. Awesome. Okay. Down below, a little bit on the left there, says the blank says new blank. It says new believers without real relationships. This is somebody in the explore phase, or long-term believers without real relationships. I mean, you don't have to be a new believer to be in the explore phase. I know people who know the Bible really well. Like, they spend tons of time studying, but they don't have any significant other believers in their lives. And so they've been Christians for 15, 20 years, but they're not truly connected. They're not at a place where they're willing to be real with another believer. And a lot of people are there. And why usually? Because usually they got hurt by somebody. They said, well, I trusted this person and they you know, burned me or whatever. You know, one of my jobs that I like to tell people is, as a pastor, is my job is to help you grow in Christ. So one of my jobs is to offend you intentionally. But I try to do it with a smile on my face, and then you'll feel better about it, right? So if I see you at Walmart, and I don't say hi to you, and you're like, that Kevin Beeson, I'm just mad at him. He didn't say hi to me, right? And you know, and I'm sorry if I offend you, but I look at it as an opportunity for you to grow. Right? And I'm willing to, if you're offended, come tell me, and I'll apologize, and I'll ask you for forgiveness, because my job is to help you grow and me grow, right? And so look at offense as an opportunity to grow rather than, I just can't believe he's like that. You know, just get over it, all right? Just walk in forgiveness, be real, all right? You guys, listen, I mean, it's not going to be perfect. I heard one guy say, you know, one pastor, he told me, thank you for Jesus, because he just helps us. He goes, I'm just stumbling along under the anointing, you know, stumbling along. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm stumbling along. Does anybody else feel like they're stumbling along? But you know what's amazing is Jesus has us. He's got us. And so the more we taste and see, the more we grow in our relationship with him. So, all right, so at the bottom of the page there, as a disciple of Jesus, you'll always be exploring the depths of God, right? And at the right-hand side in the box there are the next steps you would need to grow. But I'll let you read those on your own. Let's go to the next page. I'm skipping a little bit on the PowerPoint there, the keynote. Let's go to the connect phase. The connect phase, again, is that linked phase, and we're linking up with Christ and others. And I love Hebrews 10:25. It says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back is drawing near. And some of the language we might hear in the connect phase is language like this. I love this church, which I hope you say that. And if you don't, we still love you. If I've offended you today, I'll help me walk in forgiveness by coming talk to me. Okay, I love this church because I feel like I belong. I mean, I feel accepted, this church. I love that. I'm helping with Kids City with our kids ministry and nursery because I really like these kids. And the blank up above is this phase is really kind of the I phase. It's really kind of all about you and how you're doing. It's, I really like this church. I really love this. And this is an okay place to be, but not an okay place to stay forever, right? You don't want to be in a total self-focus mode forever. It's just part of the growth process, right? And so just like a child grows up, but you know, when you got a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, it's their toys, it's their stuff, it's, you know, and we're supposed to help them grow and sharing and, oh, you know, it's not just about you, it's not just your toy, you can share with somebody, you know, and so even spiritually, that's where we're at too. But some of the language you might hear, things like this, well, my life group really loves me and I really feel welcome there. And I don't want my life group to multiply or branch. Like, if we're growing and you have 30 people in your group, you know, and you got 30 people in your group, which would be a great problem, but, you know, basically two people get to share because you got 30 people in your group. So, again, it kind of defeats the point of a small group if not everybody can have an opportunity to share. So, but when you're in the connect and I phase, you're kind of like, well, I don't want our group. I love all these people. I don't want them to branch or multiply or start another group because I won't get what I need. One more thing might be said is, I have so much wrong in my life, I could never give others what I've received. Like, I've just got so much wrong. And you know what? I get that. But God, with his grace and his good and his mercy, he'll help us get past that. Some of the healthy characteristics there, you can see Holy Spirit showing what you need, deeper relationship with other believers, you're growing in your daily habits with Christ, Bible reading, prayer, fellowship, you might even be giving a little bit, tithing, you're involved in your life group. And you can read the rest of those, but at the bottom it says, the disciple of Jesus will always be growing in connection with God and others, right? Again, we never leave this phase. We just add it, and we keep growing in our link, our connection. And then if you go to the bottom corner there, when next steps needed for growth to serve, we're trying to move and add that serve phase in. What you're going to see happen is an encouragement to use our gifts and talents. You start to discover those gifts and talents. Safe place that you can ask hard questions, training the Bible, reading, prayer, serving, someone willing to intentionally invest and encourage you. And the last thing at the bottom is discover their true identity. You begin to really realize this is who I am in Christ, that who I am isn't based on what other people say. It's not based upon what I used to think. It's what the Bible says and who I am in Christ. That's my true identity. And from that place of security, then it's amazing how God grows us up. It's amazing. And there's so much freedom when you can realize, oh, this is about who Jesus says I am, not my old patterns of thinking. And that's why the Bible says, you know, be renewed and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's why we get the truth in us, because we all have a lot of tapes, old tapes that run, and many of them are not biblical. It's things we've believed, it's lies the enemy's sown, it's things that people said about us growing up, it's whatever. But you know what? Those things sometimes are lids to our growth. Most of the time they are. We need the truth of God's word, okay? And so then if you go to the phase three on page six, serve. As a result of this previous phase, connection, relationship, a heart change starts to occur. And so what happens here is we go from these kind of I phases, just me growing with Jesus, me growing my connection with others. So it's kind of this infant to child. And then we start getting to this place where it's kind of a young adult phase in our spiritual maturity, where we start, the heart, something happens. It's not just information here and connection out here. This internal thing starts to happen, this heart change and this transformation. It's like, oh, God, you actually deposited things in me. You actually have a design for me. You've given me things that are unique even to me, that God, you want to use for me to advance your kingdom and help other people grow. And you start to discover those things in this serve phase. And you start to use those things and give that stuff away. You actually realize, wow, stewardship, which is management of the resources God's given us, it isn't just about, you know, tithing to River City Church on Sunday. It's about, you actually want all of it? Like, God, you actually want me? Like, all of me? Like, time, talent, resources, treasure, your gifts. God wants to say, give those all to me. I mean, and then I want you to be in enough relationship with me that I say, hey, use that radio voice, right? Use that gift I've given you to advance the kingdom. You might be disc jockeying at a regular radio station, but God wants to use that gift to advance his kingdom. So you're going to ask him, how do I do that, God? Right? So, the fill-ins, beginning to, the first right there at the top, beginning to discover and exercise their God-given gifts. As you mature in the serve phase, you're serving in the family and out in the community. I believe that's God's heart for us, that first and foremost, your family. Like, if you're married, if you've got kids, you need to be serving your family first, right? That family. Then I believe your church family, in the family here, and then out in the community, that it's both. And you might go, man, Kevin, I don't have enough time to do all that. I'm not saying the amount of time you have to give. You have to say, God, what can I do? What's my part? How can I use the gifts you've put in me, right, to advance your kingdom and to reach people for Jesus, all right? And then some of the language you might hear under the phrase from the phase, things like this. Josh wasn't at life group tonight. I'm going to call him and see if he's doing okay. Do you notice the tweak in thinking? Do you notice the perspective difference? Like, it wasn't like, well, I really miss Josh, and I just can't believe he wasn't here for me this week, right? I mean, that's okay, but you don't want to get stuck there. It's, wow, I wonder if he's doing okay. I'm going to call him and see if he's okay. I feel led to make a meal for that family that was sick. I'm helping with Kids City and preschool to assist parents in teaching their children. I just want to help children grow and parents grow in their relationship with Christ. I love using my gifts. You might say something like this. I love using my gifts to serve God and others. Another thing, I wish more people would get on board and serve. Like, you start realizing, man, this is awesome. This serving thing is really cool. Like, to do something that God's put in you and use it for him is so encouraging. It's so good. And so you can read there on the right-hand side, or on the left-hand side, excuse me, who are they? People committed with a relationship with God. They're accountable, active in groups, they're connected, and some characteristics there. But again, we never stop growing as a servant of Christ. You grow to become a servant leader. Right? Jesus came, I came not to be served, but to serve, right? And so that's a great place. The big key that's underneath the word serve there is serving others, but not engaged in intentionally discipling others. You're serving, you're giving, but you're not intentionally raising others up yet. But you're going to get there. And that's the last phase, the disciple phase. So turn the page to the last one there. You doing okay? You all right? This is more of a lab, so it's a little harder work. It's almost like school. You thought your LC students hadn't started. You got three more days. But no, today is your first day of class. And listen, if you're a student and you maybe, if this is your freshman year and you're just here and you're like, and you thought, man, I was like going to church when I was at home, but I can't wait to get to school and kind of slack a little bit. And just, I tell you what, look at this opportunity as a way to just totally grow in Jesus. Not just grow in your knowledge of regular skills, that's excellent. But listen, God intentionally got you even to Lewiston, Idaho. This is a smelly town, but we love this town, right? This is God loves this place, despite its smell. And he has purpose for you this semester and next semester, and for all of us, he does. And so ask him, go into it and go, I don't know, Kevin, I'm just trying to make it. You know what? Ask God, show me, get me connected with the right people, the right groups. I want to grow my relationship with you, and I want to help other people do it too. Trust me, call, especially if you're a freshman, and this can be some of your greatest years yet. All right? Awesome. Okay. So disciple phase, under that disciple, the key concept for the disciple phase are responsibility and intentionality. Ooh, two big words some of us don't like. Responsibility. Oh. But intentionality, that you recognize, wow, God, you, and by your mercy and grace, you've given me a responsibility to help others grow, and I'm going to intentionally invest in them. And you understand that, and you're starting to get that. You get it. And then maturity is making disciples who make disciples, that you realize, all right, I'm going to help another person grow in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:2, and it should be on the screen, says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So you look for those people that you know, okay, I want to invest in them, but when you're investing in them, you're also getting to that place where you recognize, I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to encourage Tim over here. Tim, as you grow in Christ and as you're investing in others, I'm going to encourage you to keep investing in them who invest in others. Right? It's multi-generational. It's not just you invest in one person, that's it, but it's you're investing in one person and you're encouraging them to invest in another person. All right. So some of the language you might hear, I see how the Lord can really use you. Like you start to see potential in other people, right? You go, it's not just, you're not just looking at other people for like, I wonder if they can meet my needs. You know, you're looking at them and going, I see stuff in them. I see gifts in them. I want to encourage them to grow in Christ. And I can see how God would use them. This is awesome. And you start calling it out. And like, for instance, the next one, would you go with me to visit that family that's sick? See, the difference between someone in the serve phase and the disciple phase, here'd be a practical one. Doug hears of a need. Doug back here, he's a servant-hearted guy, right? And Roscoe's in the hospital, which he's not, he's right back here, but Roscoe's in the hospital and Doug hears about it. Doug goes and visits Roscoe. Servant. Awesome. Encouraging. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna pray for Roscoe and visit him, let him know I care, he's in my life group. Awesome. But if Doug's thinking like a disciple maker, you know what he's doing? You know what he'd do? He'd call someone. Who else? He'd call Sam. He'd say, hey, Sam, Roscoe's in the hospital. Meet me over there. Let's go pray for him. See the difference? Totally different. So there's some intentionality in realizing, oh, this isn't just about me serving. This is about me helping others grow too. Simple, but a major change. I see the group has several possible leaders. I need to get them ready to lead, right? I mean, I realize discipleship happens at home too. This might be something else to say. Would you hold me accountable to actually disciple my kids and my family? We get to baptize somebody today from our life group. And this is another language you might hear. We're so excited. I'm so excited about this next step for them. And then down on the right, on the left-hand side, it says, who are they? They're discipling their family first. And man, this is hard. Right? It's challenging, but ultimately if you're married, if you're single and you've got kids, we're called to disciple our families first. I'm like, well, I don't know how to do. Well, then get in a parenting life group if you don't know how to disciple your kids. I mean, go, I don't know how to do this. You have somebody who can help me. Ask us. We'll do our best to connect you, okay? Helping others grow in their faith, you're encouraging others, the blanketers, you're encouraging others to disciple someone else. Jesus-centered and others-focused. Some of the characteristics, you're glorifying God is the ultimate goal in all situations. I mean, not perfectly, but that's ultimately what this is all about, this life, is glorifying God. You're finding joy in other people's successes. How many of you ever lived the opposite of that? Like somebody has a great success and you're like, why them and not me? Anybody besides me? Okay, thank you for the few honest people. All the mature people just raised their hands. Is anybody else mature here? Okay, just kidding. Just kidding. Don't you like those tricks like that? But it's true. You know, sometimes we have a hard time celebrating when other people are successful or growing, But you know, that's a real mark of maturity. It's like, and sometimes it's hard because it reveals the motive of our heart. When somebody else is really doing well, I remember this guy, I had a little small business rolling, and I remember this other guy invested in this business, and like it just boomed like in the first 2 months, you know. I was like, and he was telling me, and with my face on the outside, I was like, well, I'm really happy for you. That's wonderful. In my heart, I was like, sucker. I just can't believe you're doing so good. Why not me? Why couldn't I do that? You know? And so then it's like, the Lord's like, oh, I see there's a small attitude in the heart that we need to deal with today, Kevin. I'm like, oh, okay, Lord. Forgive me, I think. Okay, then a few more. Most important life group is your family. You're able to feed yourself spiritually. You know, that's the goal, is that we get to a place where you realize this isn't about just coming on Sunday to get fed, that this is a daily relationship with Jesus, where you have that dynamic relationship. You're not being fed stuff all the time. You're actually feeding yourself. Sharing your faith is a consistent rhythm and outflow of your daily life. So that's just a quick overview of those phases. But where are you at? Like, where are you at? When you say, I believe today that the Holy Spirit would just say, let me just do some recalibration today, and let me reveal where you're at, because the Lord, in his recalibration, his desire is that you would taste and see, as we've been encouraged today with. And I just believe that's going to happen today. I believe this next semester, in a sense, between now and December, can be the greatest semester, the greatest end of 2012 you've ever had. I mean, God wants you to grow in his relationship, in your relationship with him, and he wants actually to use you to help someone else grow. And you go, I just am not there, Kevin. If you're not there, it's okay. But recognize that's what's coming. That's what's coming. And you might go, I just don't know. I just say, God, I'm willing, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. That's all right. That's a great prayer. Lord, I'm willing, but I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. But I am willing if you'll help me. And so I just am encouraged by that, and I wanna just give anybody today an opportunity that may not yet know Christ. Because I said in the front end of this message that, you know, we're gonna be doing baptisms here in about 10-15 minutes right outside here. And if you're a believer in Jesus and you've never been baptized, it's your opportunity. But today, if you've never received Christ, you could do that today. And you know where you're at. You know, if the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, you might go, I don't even know who the Holy Spirit is, but there's this, I think I'm supposed to give my life to Jesus, and I'm feeling convicted of sin. And the Bible just basically says in Romans 3:23 that we actually all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we all need a Savior, every one of us. And Jesus, what God did is he knew that. He knew that we couldn't make it to him on our own and being good enough. So he provided Jesus. Jesus came this earth. He walked this earth for 33 years, and he came on mission as God's son. And he came to die, actually, and to take upon himself the sin, your sin and my sin. And when he did that, he took that upon himself. And basically Romans talks about, if you confess your sin, if you say, I am a sinner, and I need you, Jesus. I need that gift that you've given. And I receive that today. And you're saying, I surrender my life to you, that you'll be saved. You confess it. You confess it with your mouth. Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I want you to lead my life. And you begin the journey. You begin the exploration process from that point forward. And you begin this journey with him. And if you do that today, if you've never done that today, and you do that today, I want to encourage you, go back and just tell Claire and say, I just received Jesus. I want to start this journey and I want to get baptized. It'd be great to do it. Boom, boom. It doesn't happen every Sunday. We don't do baptisms, but this is a great day. So why don't you stand with me, please? And what I want to do is just be quiet. Just a couple more minutes, okay? If there's anybody here, just everybody close their eyes. Anybody here that say, Kevin, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Everybody's eyes closed. Would you just slip up your hand, and I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here today that's never received Jesus, but you'd like to? You're like, Kevin, it's the first time I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You've never done it before. Okay? Anybody? Just slip up your hand if that's you. If you feel that tug on your heart. Is there anybody here? Okay. I don't see any hands, but I'm going to pray anyway. And here's the deal. If you're going to go get baptized, I'm going to ask you, did you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And you don't want to be ashamed of him. He's not ashamed of you. And so I'm going to ask you, it's that public profession of faith. So I want to pray. If there's anybody here, just like, I'm just still exploring. That's okay. Lord, I want to, and if you're a believer here, would you begin to pray for those who are here today that aren't believers yet? Lord, this is kind of my first time even praying here, Lord, I pray for each person here that might not yet know you. God, would you continue to draw them closer? And Lord, by your Spirit, would you bring them to that next step? And if you're here today and you want to receive Jesus Christ, just in your own words, quietly there, wherever you're standing, just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And Jesus, come into my life, and I surrender my life to you today. I want you to drive. I'm tired of driving this life myself. Forgive me. God, I want to begin that journey, a relationship with you today. In Jesus' name. And if you're here, the rest of us here as believers, I want to pray for each one of us. Lord, I ask today, God, that today would be a day of recalibration. And I believe that there's people in this room today that the word that taste and see from Psalm 34, God, that's the word they needed to hear today. That today is a day of refreshing and recalibration for you, that you need to taste and see. And you might need to see more than taste. You might need to taste more than see. But Lord, you know where each person's at. God, I pray you would meet them right where they're at. And Lord, as I open up the front here for prayer, and there's people prepared to pray for them, Lord, I pray that God, they would step out in boldness and say, I just need someone to pray for me, that I would be a person who could taste and see even in a fresh way today. You, God, in a new and fresh way. And so, Lord, I thank you for everybody here. I pray that we would go, Lord, with an understanding, a greater understanding even today of who you are, what you did on the cross. Lord, that your death and resurrection, Lord, your burial and resurrection was enough. And even as we see people baptized today here in just a few minutes, Lord, it's symbolically that same thing. It's a burial. It's a death and burial. And then as we come up, those people come up out of the water, it's that new life, that resurrection life. Lord, thank you for that. We give you the rest of our time. In Jesus' name, amen.